Thanks, Sandy. Very helpful words that Sandy shared. The talk about the tax collector and the Pharisee. That story is a little bit, it's kind of shocking, because the Pharisee is usually the really good guy. Tax collector is really bad guy. And in that Old Testament reading, you got Cain and Abel. Cain murders his brother. You know, just some really bad examples. Really bad examples. And of course, we got the presidential campaign and the electoral process. I mean, this is, you guys tired of it? I don't know. I mean, but it's a process. And I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I'm going to encourage you to vote. We need to vote. But what I want to share with you today, in light of all this stuff that's happening, my goodness, you know, people, it's good to talk about integrity. It's good for us to have an idea of what integrity means from God's point of view, right? Because we see so much and we hear so much in the Word. What does it mean to have integrity from God's point of view? And I want to talk about that. And this example from the Pharisee and the tax collector is a really, it helps us. It helped me. It was very encouraging to me. When I was looking over this text and thinking about it, I thought about the example that the tax collector is and how I want to be that person, actually. Not in his sinful lifestyle, of course, but in his humility and his example before God. Now, the Pharisee, when Jesus told the story, the Pharisee was somebody who was a perfect example of integrity. He was impeccable. Some of you guys that are older, I remember the reruns, all right? I can remember watching reruns of Gene Autry. Does that sound familiar to anybody? You got to be old for that. I mean, I remember watching them when I was in California, and they'd be on TV. These were these old-fashioned Westerns. And if you guys remember seeing these, if you've ever seen them, now you got to look them up later on. You can look them up online. But the good guy always had what? A white hat. He had a white hat. And the bad guy always had a black hat. And you could tell, even if they were riding off way in the distance, you see the black hat, he's bad, and he's going to do bad things. Well, when he told this story, the guy in the white hat is the Pharisee. The crowd would have heard it like, woo, this guy is awesome. He's leader of the synagogue, chief citizen in town, does everything right, helps everybody, gives his tithe. He's just awesome. We want to be like him. He's a perfect example of what society should be. And the tax collector, that guy's like scum of the earth. I mean, he is the very bottom of the barrel when it comes to Israel. He has sold out to the pagan Romans, which they hated the Romans. They didn't like being subjugated. And this guy is put in a position of taking exorbitant taxes from people and then keeping the profits and keeping the money if he wants to. So he's getting rich, really rich, and he's just the picture of corruption. So when they hear the Pharisee, they're like, yay, Pharisee. And then when they hear the tax collector, they're like, boo, hiss, they didn't like him. And Jesus, of course, is full of surprises, always full of surprises. And he puts a twist on it, because the good guy comes out to be the bad guy, and the bad guy comes out to be the man of sterling integrity. Why? What's going on there? I mean, the thing that struck me is, it's good for us to understand what integrity means to God. What integrity means to God is this. It centers around his heart of love. It centers around his love and his grace and his care for us. The Pharisee did not understand this. And in the text it says he looked down on everybody else. But God places love and forgiveness at the center of his relationship with us. People would typically think that God's integrity centers around the law, because God is good, God is perfect, God is righteous. But it does not. He knows that we can't keep the law, and so his integrity for us centers around his love, his grace, and his forgiveness to us, and how much Christ has done for us. And the man, the person, the woman, the child that understands that and sees the gracious God and the forgiveness that he gives them is actually blessed. Would you agree? Because I think it's hard to do, and I had an example of it this morning that I'll share with you in a minute. Would you agree that it's hard to show your weaknesses to people? Is it hard just to be open and upfront? I mean, even if you're with your spouse or your best friend, is it hard to admit that you're wrong? I mean, I find that that's a very difficult thing to do. It really opens ourselves up. It creates you need a lot of trust. You need to have a lot of freedom to be able to do that. Even in our families, we're not free enough to do that. The flowers that are up there, beautiful flowers, aren't they? They were not there Saturday night. They forgot to deliver them. And lo and behold, guess what happened? The person that ordered the flowers was here for the Saturday night service. So the first thing they said, where's the flowers? Well, so I called the store, and I got the manager. Of course, the flower place is closed, and the manager said, oh, well, we'll get right on it. We'll send them right over. First thing in the morning, they're not here. So I call, and I call again. And I said, can I talk with the manager, please? Because we really need the flowers here. And you know what the manager said? The manager said, I'm very sorry. It's my fault. I forgot to give the key to the person, and they could not get in. I'm very sorry. It was my mistake. That is a very vulnerable position to put yourself in. That is a very beautiful thing to do, just to come off and say, it was me. You don't throw the blame on someone else. You're not passing it off. I mean, that just to be open and unguarded, to take off the mask and to be that way is so freeing and so amazing, and it's actually encouraging to people. I had an experience when I was in seminary, and as seminarians, they assigned us to go to a hospital, and they would send us out to visit people in their hospital beds, just random calls to help the chaplain. Well, one of my buddies who was a student liked wearing his clerical. And so he would put his clerical on and make the visits. Well, we're in a Roman Catholic hospital. And as he's visiting this one guy in the bed, this guy starts calling him Father. And he just goes with it. He figured, hey, I'm Father for the day. This is great. So he just goes with the guy's calling him Father, and he's you know, appreciating the interaction that he's getting. And then at the end of his time with him, this nice guy reaches out his hand and grabs his hand, and he says, Father, can we just pray the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi? Of course, he didn't know it, and he was found out, and he was embarrassed. And that's just what happens, you know, when we put up a mask, when we pretend to be something that we're not, and we get found out, it is embarrassing. And we spend so much time trying to put on airs, trying to pretend to be something that we're not, that this tax collector shows us how freeing and how wonderful it is. He is making a fool of himself in that temple, and he doesn't care. He is just there because he knows that God will help him, and he just wants God's help. The Bible tells us. It tells us what a blessing it is to be open and honest and upfront. In James, it says, confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. The key word there is each other, one another. To getting us to the point where we will be willing, we'll be able to share. And as the verse up there says, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know, make a connection between grace and humble. You can, in your mind, that's the connection we need to make. It's between grace, God gives grace to the humble. And obviously the Pharisee, when he comes into the temple, he is there standing in the temple. He's given great thought to how good he looks. It's a public performance. He's considering his behavior. It's all part of a script. It's all about what he would wear, about what he would say, about his audience. And when he arrived, he stood up in front of the people, and he's got his phylactery on, and he's got his beautiful, wonderful robes. And it's all just part of a religious show. The words that he prayed were not really words directed towards God. They're directed towards himself. He's just talking to himself. But you know, the integrity that Jesus is talking about is very different. Because worship does take an audience, but it's an audience of one. It's an audience of just you and God, of us just humbling ourselves before God and just saying, Lord, help me. And the Lord loves to help us. What is grace? You know, think about what grace is. The fact that God does not give us what we deserve. Aren't you glad that God doesn't give you what you deserve? I mean, if God gave us what we deserve, none of us would be here right now. But God absolutely loves to be gracious in Christ. You know, if you look at verse 11 in the text, look how many times you see I and me. I thank you that I am not like, that me, I do this. It's all about I and me. I think it is good for us as Christians. It's good for our Christian integrity to have an eye exam. We should actually think about how much we are the focus. Think in the last 24 hours, how much your prayers, how much your thoughts, how much everything kind of centered on I or me. Do you notice how the Pharisee was very quick to criticize and condemn? And you know, when you look at people really through just your own eyes and you compare yourself to other people, C.S. Lewis put it this way. He said, a proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you're looking down, you can't see something that's above you. It is really hard to admit our weaknesses. It is really hard to say that we're wrong. But it is so freeing and so blessed because our God is taking care of us. Our God is watching over us. He's going before us. We can trust Him. And have you ever noticed this? Even though it's hard for us to be honest and upfront, don't we appreciate people who are? When we find somebody who is actually honest and open, down to earth, real, and are willing to admit they're wrong, we're blessed by that. We appreciate that. We esteem that. We think that's important. It's encouraging to us to see that. And so what the Lord is telling us is He's saying, you know, because none of us want to be around somebody that's hypercritical or nitpicky or noticing all our faults. It's a blessing for us. It's a great blessing for us to know that we can just be open and upfront. You know, whenever we share our strengths, it really creates competition. And if you want to have stronger relationships, if you want to have better relationships, let's say with your husband and your wife, with your kids, with the people that you work with, if you want to be more intimate with them and make your relationship strong and solid, be open. Be humble. Just be open and humble before God and trust God to take care of the situation. It is an amazing, powerful thing. Nowadays, I really think that we have a leadership vacuum. I really do. In our schools, in our work, in our lives. And it's not that we're out of leaders. We're short of good examples. And unfortunately, the heroes that we have are really not worthy of the title. But the integrity that God gives us is one of humility, one of being able to willing to take the blame, one that's willing to submit, one that's willing to serve. That's the example. That's what He's talking about in this story. He's giving that as an example for us. And I realize that's a scary, that's a difficult thing to do. But it's the essence of what He's called us to be. And so in building our integrity, because this is a lifelong challenge for us. And I know it's an important challenge because, you know, all of us, we were all baptized and brought into the family of God, right? I was baptized as a baby. God did not bring me out of this world the minute that I was baptized. He left me in this world to trust Him, to walk with Him, to grow in this wonderful grace, to be salt and light in this community. And the way that I am is very countercultural. It's very different. And so I think really for us to build integrity, the number one thing that we have to do first and foremost is to remember whose we are. when we get into difficulties of maybe getting into an argument with someone or trying to boast or trying to prove ourselves or are feeling insecure in any way, that what we really need to do is be confident of whose we are, that you are Jesus Christ. You are a child of God. I am a child of God. And nothing can take that away. That is a rock-solid promise that God has given. And you know what? It is amazing to me that this tax collector discovered that the Pharisee did not. And in the text it says it's the tax collector, that sinner, that went home justified. Now, justified is a big fancy word that we have, but it just simply means just as if I've never sinned. Just as if I've never sinned. That's how this tax collector left there. And that's what God says to you. He says, just as if you never sinned. He loves you. He cares for you. And it is so freeing, I will assure you, it is so freeing when you have a hectic day and you're just busy and you're overwhelmed with worries, just to remember whose you are, just to stop and take a deep breath, say, I am a child of God. God, you got this. You're watching over me. And I'm going to walk with you. You know, that's why the last point I was thinking about is to be an influence. Don't be under the influence. And what I mean by that is be influenced by this beautiful, wonderful grace of God. It's one thing for us to say, let's say at the end of this service, we say, I'm going to trust God. Okay, that's one thing. But the truth is how you know if you're ever going to do that? How do you know if at the end of the week you've actually done that more? And so, you know, for us to sit down and do something as simple as this, just every morning this week, before I eat breakfast, before you eat breakfast, just tell God. Just say, God, today is yours. And I'm going to trust you. I'm going to ask you, Lord, to give me the strength to replace worries, to replace them with trust. Help me with this, Lord. That's the very grace that lifted up this tax collector, that blessed him, that strengthened him in his walk. And he discovered that the Pharisee did not know. And I'll tell you, God has shared this with you. He really wants to encourage you in it. This is the beauty and the wonder of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I just can't thank God enough. Just can't thank, praise him enough for bringing this beautiful grace and love to us. Let us rejoice in it. Let us be people of integrity, gospel people of integrity in this world. I'm telling you, the world needs to see it. They're crying out for it. And it's a wonderful testimony. May God bless us and inspire us and keep us in this. God bless you. And God love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our service will continue now. We're going to collect.